I definitely need to get out more and take videos. I can't keep recycling these old videos before people catch on, you know?
Even not to call you up, I'm like, oh yeah, this is the Simon walking away from camera clip. I know this
Yeah, walking away from camera, with like the sunset in the background.
It's
It's
hard
like,
not to
crap,
when you
man.
have a really good shot.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love it, but I can't, I gotta stop.
Hi, I'm Brad. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, Austin, Texas.
From Shoreditch in London.
Southeastern Michigan. It's called Dexter.
And wherever you are, welcome to Blonde Radio. Hi, I'm Brad. I live on the west coast of Canada. I'm getting better at my watercolors, and I've been going on way more picnics lately. And welcome to Blonde Radio, where every week I book calls with strangers from around the world. Today, we'll talk to Kylene, who's traveled with a sense of discovery, Rebecca, who's learning how to make friends in a new city, and Simon, who's created his brand, Keep It Wholesome, to bring awareness to mental health issues. But first, this week at Blonde Radio on Instagram, I gave you a prompt. What does the phrase, being adaptable, mean to you? Here's what you had to say.
Hey Brad, it's Alex calling from South Korea, and I think being adaptable means you let go of your ego in a way that allows you to change your perspective on any situation and how to solve certain problems that arise in your life. I think it allows you to really be the most adaptable and the most open-minded in searching for the solutions to your problems, even finding problems that you might not even have known that you had. I think that's really what being adaptable is all about.
Hi, I'm Gabby, located in Toronto, Ontario. Being adaptable to me pretty much means survival. I didn't really have a very stable childhood and moved around a lot, so I didn't really have a choice but to adapt. Otherwise, I would just drown in the new things that I was exposed to. And I've definitely carried that skill into my adult life. Very valuable skill.
Hey Brad, I'm Shannon and I'm calling from Sydney, Australia. And to me, I think being adaptable, especially in the current climate, is really about allowing yourself to feel uncomfortable with change, because people that really feel like they always have to be super on top of all of the changes that are going on in their world or anything like that are the ones that aren't actually adapting to situations. So I feel like to me, to be truly adaptable to, I guess, change in situations is to let yourself feel vulnerable and uncomfortable and let yourself feel everything that you have to feel and then move on and continue going as you are and doing what you feel like you need to be doing.
Hey Brad, Manu here, calling from Spain. Personally, I think being adaptable is being up for anything. Not necessarily jumping off a cliff, but maybe trying something new with your friends or asking the girl you like out for the first time. I think it's really great to try new experiences, and being adaptable is just another way to engage in that. I'm trying to be more adaptable myself, and I'm trying to get out and meet new people. Love the show, love the podcast. Thank you.
Thanks to everyone for submitting the responses, and we'll hear more answers throughout today's show. Hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. I'm Brad. Nice to meet you.
I'm Rebecca. Nice to meet you.
How's your day going?
Pretty chill so far. Had a job interview this morning, so we'll see how that goes.
Oh, hey. Best of luck with that. Yeah.
Thanks.
And you're calling from Texas, yeah?
Yeah, Austin, Texas.
Sweet. I think just off the bat, kind of give me like the elevator pitch on you. Tell me like who you are, what got you to where you are today.
Sure. Born and raised in Northern California. Just moved to Austin, Texas last October, kind of on a spur of the moment thing. I was at my job last August and just kind of was not really happy with it anymore. So I left it. And September, I just randomly started looking for jobs in Austin and I got one, got my offer letter. And a week later, I packed up my car, found an apartment and drove from Sacramento to Austin, Texas. Really spur of the moment, but so far it's worked out pretty well, except for everything that's going on right now. But for the first couple of months, it was working out great. It was going well.
Would your friends like describe you as super impromptu, you know, in the spur of the moment?
Yes and no. It depends on who I'm with. I think since this was a solo adventure and I don't have any friends or family out in Austin, I kind of felt a little bit more comfortable with doing it because it wasn't affecting others as much as maybe if I was with friends and wanted to go do something, I kind of would care more about what they thought. So since it was kind of just only affecting me, I kind of was a little bit more comfortable with it. But I'm a person that's very, I guess in a way, a people pleaser. So I'll do a lot of adventurous things if it's what people want to do. I'll go along with it. I'm not like opposed to that, but it's very rare that I do like really bold, brave things like this, mm-hmm. like moving to Texas. But it's something that's kind of over the last couple of years, I guess, has been blooming more.
Cool. And yeah, so is this like the first sort of long extended period of time that you've like lived away from friends and family?
Oh yeah. No, I was born and raised in California. Like I was always around my family. This is the first time I've ever like been away from my family. Like,
damn.
It was definitely a big leap to just move to, even though it's a big city, it almost in a way feels like the middle of nowhere because I don't know anyone. Mm-hmm. Being away from them is difficult.
Of course. Yeah, I can imagine. In your initial message, you kind of mentioned how maybe you were struggling to sort of meet people in Austin. Is that something that you've struggled with in the past, or is it just because of this? It's this whole new ballgame for you.
A little bit of both, but in different ways. Mm-hmm. I'm a very open and outgoing person, but it's hard for me to make that initial introduction. Once I like know someone, I can get along with them great. We can become friends. But because of my people pleasing, I am always have that fear of before making a friend or before meeting someone being like, are they going to like me? What if they don't like me? Why wouldn't they like me? Mm-hmm. I'm cool. Like, so kind of having that fear. So it's almost, if I have a without a doubt feeling that this person will be my friend, I'll totally approach them and be comfortable doing that. But if I have that tinge of doubt of I don't know if this person's going to like me, I almost avoid making friends. It makes me really apprehensive to meet them, even though I have the desire to also make friends. So it's kind of a catch-22.
That's interesting. It feels like there's so much in you that you have to get past before you even engage with someone to even know if like a friendship is possible.
Oh yeah. I definitely have a lot of the hurdles that I built from scratch and assembled myself that I have to jump over before even attempting things. Yeah, for sure.
Well, recognizing it is the first step. So, I mean, we got that out of the way.
Oh, years of therapy took me that. So that's part of it right there. Is I didn't realize it until recently. So baby steps, I guess, right?
Of course. Okay, well, so here's the thing. It's like in 2020, especially like mm-hmm. we could say like the 2010s moving forward, there's so many more avenues for communication. Like you live in Austin, Texas, and we're speaking to each other right now.
Yeah.
Do you find that makes it easier or more overwhelming to try and make these connections?
Depends on the type of connection. Like with friendships, I've actually made a friend or two through TikTok. Like that's how I found Blonde Radio, and that's how I found you. Mm-hmm. It's through TikTok. I think it's easier for me to talk to someone when I'm not in front of them. I feel more comfortable because I'm in like my own state, but also it almost takes away a little bit of the personability by taking away some senses of like sight and being like actually near someone in touch, but having just the voice or just typing, it makes it a little bit more comfortable. So yeah. Also growing up, didn't really have a lot of friends as it was. So making friendships has been, I don't know if I have fell along how to make natural friendships. I didn't really have that kind of aspect growing up. So by reaching out to random strangers and messaging them and making friends that way, it's kind of just like, well, it's a step.
Right. Yeah. Do you have any idea why that was in your life? Were you just not in situations that were fostering two friendships?
Well, growing up like elementary and junior high, I definitely, at least in my opinion, was less mature than some of the kids that were in my grades. I don't know if it's from just the household I lived in or what. It's public school wise, I could tell that they were more mature than I was. And I think that was part of the reason why I had a hard time fostering friendships or true friendships. Looking back now, I thought that I had friends and like I thought that some of my classmates were my friends, but really they were more just would let me kind of come along if it helped them or if they were bored and just wanted to do something. I didn't really have like a lot of the typical like sleepovers and like hanging out with friends kind of thing. I think I have a trouble with authenticity of friendships where I think they're more authentic than they are. And so it leads me to be more trusting, but then in hindsight, realizing that they weren't as authentic as I thought. Yeah.
I totally get that. Especially like as soon as you step away from, you know, this place that you go to every week, you realize like, were we friends because we were friends or just because we, you know, showed up to the same place on a schedule?
Yeah, for like situational convenience.
It seems like you have like a really specific like understanding of kind of like your relationship with friendship and knowing where your strengths and weaknesses lie. Do you think that without the global pandemic at hand, you'd be more equipped and more ready to like engage with people? Like, do you think you're ready to find your people?
I think so. I mean, there was the glimmer of hope for a month kind of in February that I was actually like getting out and doing things. I would go to the movies by myself because at least I was getting out of the house. Yeah, right now the most social interaction I get is with like the grocery store cashiers, and that's only if I don't do the self-checkout and I'll just try to talk to them and they'll just look at me like I could just see the dim light in their eyes and I'm like, I get it. You don't want to try to simulate a conversation. It's good. Of course. Okay.
Well, one day I'm sure.
Hopefully.
Rebecca, I want to thank you again for taking time out of your day to speak with me. In closing, I was wondering, what advice would you give to someone to stay grounded after a big change in your life? It seems like even though you've moved to Austin, Texas, you're still dealing with these issues. You're still grounded and like comfortable in who you are and what you're about. What are some things that have helped you in moving away from friends and family?
Well, something that I do is, even though I was so close with my family and then I moved halfway across the country, I still call like my mom and my sister all the time, because even though I don't have that human interaction here, at least I can have some sort of connection and know that even though I'm in a new city, I'm not alone. So that kind of motivates me through the day. So even just texting my sister saying, hey, watch the new Criminal Minds episode or something, I don't know, something random, but just having some sort of interaction with someone kind of just gives you a hope that just because the craziness is going on right now doesn't mean that you can't still thrive in the craziness, right, and be able to meet new people and just, but also not have the loneliness start to like creep in, because that's something that definitely can happen. So just even reaching out to one person, even a person that you see their TikToks on your For You page and Instagram message them and say, hey, want to talk? Like being open to trying to meet people in unconventional ways just kind of also keeps your brain from getting into that slump. So I think by reaching out to people that you are comfortable with and also trying to reach out to people you're not comfortable with kind of gives you the motivation to just stay focused on something and not get caught in a rut. And then hopefully as things, global pandemic aside, as your life keeps going, you start adjusting to your new life in a new city or a new town or a new state or a new country or down the street from a different place, just you'll start to get a little bit more comfortable. You'll establish your own way of living in that area and just kind of building from there. So just having a bit of familiarity, but also opening yourself up to new opportunities kind of helps you stay grounded. At least that's the experience I've had.
I like that. That's super beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
It's all about, you know, despite it all, staying open. Yeah, again, thank you so much for speaking your story and being so chill and cool and open and honest.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm glad that honestly it was kind of a little therapeutic for me, but I just hope that really my situation helps someone is really the biggest thing. Because if I was able to hear someone going through something that I was going through, it kind of helped me. So I just hope that I can help someone else too.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Rebecca, thank you again. I wish you a lovely rest of the day.
Awesome. Thanks, Brad. It was good to talk to you.
Of course. We'll be in touch. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Ciao.
Hi, my name is Alyssa. I'm from Lubbock, Texas. When I hear the phrase being adaptable, the first thing that comes to my mind is the word change. I feel like being adaptable means being okay with change. That's what it is, really, like being okay with a new environment, a new job, a new task. It can also, like, you know, be kind of overwhelming and maybe even frustrating at times. But at the end of the day, when you adapt to something new, you're learning something and taking in something that could possibly benefit you, you know, as far as your life goes, your career, literally anything that you put your mind to. It's just a new you know, it's just something different for you, something out of the ordinary and something out of your regular schedule that you have now gotten the hang of because you adapted to it. I feel like it'll also say a lot about your character because you were willing to take in new information and try and do something different. You know, as much as we do it to benefit ourselves, it's usually someone asking us, are we okay with adapting to something different, like a new system? You know, you feel what I'm saying?
Hi, my name is Daniel. I'm from Aguascalientes, Mexico. And the phrase being adaptable to me is to be just like water.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, look at us. We finally did it.
Been waiting for this.
Kylene, this is so great. Glad to hear you. After I was thinking about this the other day. I'm not entirely sure how we met.
I have no idea either. I just feel like you've been there forever.
I really have. I feel like it's either probably through Twitter or Letterboxd.
Yeah, I would think that those are very big possibilities.
For sure. Where are you calling from?
From Shoreditch in London.
Which is absolutely crazy. You taking this huge life journey slightly before everything went down, yeah?
Yep.
Yep.
I think I had 2 to 3 weeks before lockdown. I didn't have enough time to experience the city in its full splendor.
And now you're just kind of vibing.
It's weird because I know the city more in lockdown than I do out of it. So
oh, interesting.
To me, this is the new normal.
Mm-hmm. Off the bat, I guess just sort of if you could give like the elevator pitch on like who you are and like what you do and like what got you to where you are today. I know that's like a super broad question, but like whatever you're comfortable with.
I don't know. It's tough because I feel like even when people ask me mm-hmm. where I grew up, I'm like, I'm still growing up. So
word.
Everywhere where I lived, I was born in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. My family is half Swiss, half Peruvian. There was terrorism in the 90s in Peru. So everyone that had a European passport tried to leave. My dad got into Stanford.
Oh, wow.
So we moved. Yeah. He thinks that's pretty cool too. So then we moved to Palo Alto for a year and a half. And then one day my dad picked us up from school in this white van. We kept driving south for 2 months.
Oh.
Yeah. And we stayed in Peru, which is where they grew up. They wanted to show us what that's like. It's safer now than it was back when they lived there. Mm-hmm. So then I lived in Peru age 11 until 17. I wanted to leave for as long as I can remember. I moved so much as a kid that I felt like I needed to go somewhere new. And I feel like I like escaping places. I don't like feeling too comfortable. Mm-hmm. So when I was 17, as soon as I graduated high school, I applied to colleges in the US. I feel like it's just tough to know when exactly I decided what I wanted to study was. Because mm-hmm. it's one of those things where it feels like you just knew forever, but I didn't fully decide it till later on. Every time there's like family issues or whatever, I would go to the movies every Tuesday at the local theater. So I'd go there and watch movies alone. At some point, I started realizing that I was more focused on the coloring and like the shots. Pirated movies were the biggest thing. Right. There was this place called Polvos Rosados, which is like a market where you would just get pirated movies. So Netflix took a while to become a thing. But when it did, my friends were always upset when I was invited because I would have seen all the movies that were on. So that's when I realized that I watched more movies than usual. Mm-hmm. I think it was when I watched City of God because my dad had lived in Brazil for a while and I had gone to visit like where he's lived. And we've had a lot of financial issues throughout my life. But I was still privileged for Peru because I went to private school and I was able to travel and stuff like that. But then we would eat rice and beans for weeks because we didn't have enough money for other food. Or we had a nice apartment that my dad built, but it wasn't furnished. And we had like candles everywhere and mattresses on the floor. So I had this idea of financial struggle. But when I watched City of God, I was like, okay, this is not what my life is like. I know that there's people out there that watch it and they're like, okay, yeah, this is kind of what my life is like. A thing that really hurt me to know as a kid is that I couldn't have all of the experiences that are out there. That's what I had issues with with choosing what I wanted to do. I feel like it's not that I didn't want to do anything. It's I wanted to try everything. Because how do you know if you haven't tried everything? But I thought that cinema is the most complete way we have of having an outside view on these stories or experiences that we might never have. This is something that I wanted to be a part of. So when I got into film school in LA, I was like, yep, this is what I got to do. When after graduating, you're allowed to get an OPT, which is a one-year work permit. But one of my advisors didn't trust that I would get these grades in. So he didn't want to sign this paperwork that I needed to send in so that they could give me that permit. Ooh. And then I went to visit my family for Christmas. If he hadn't signed those papers and they weren't sent in before I left the country, I couldn't get that permit anymore.
Damn.
Yep. And I'd signed my lease and I was getting steady jobs and I just had to leave. Throughout my entire time in LA, I kind of wanted to leave. And there's a lot of reasons why. But when I had to leave and it wasn't on my own terms, it kind of sucked. Mm-hmm. So my parents wanted me to go back to Peru or go to Switzerland. And I'm very stubborn. And anything related to family to me feels like giving up because I want to show that I can, I don't know, be independent and do this thing that I set up myself to do or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'd always romanticized London. I love rain, music, pubs. So I was like, you know what? Let's make something out of this shitty situation. I can work in Europe. If I didn't try now, it would be harder in the future.
Right.
I found tickets for $100.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Oh, first of all, like what I do is mostly camera related stuff. So I do either assistant camera or I gaff or grip. So G&E department. But I essentially want to pull a PTA and write, direct and DP something.
Oh, yeah.
I knew that the biggest film industries in Europe are in London, Paris, Madrid, Berlin. Mm-hmm. I'm most well-versed in like film terms in English. So I was like, you know what? Like, I feel like let me just try it out. But I knew that I wouldn't immediately get film jobs because it's all about the network that you've built. Last year, I went to Cannes. I met this guy that told me that he had done this work exchange thing at a hostel. I had very little money. So I figured the smartest thing for me to do is do that work exchange thing at a hostel while I settle down, get a second job anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I can get my own place, then try to build a network. Flash forward 6 months, I'm still at the hostel. I just got a second job. It's a very tough time to meet people because even though things are opening up here, no one's trying to like mingle with people from different households. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just been harder to get back on track, you know, a day at a time, trying to figure it out.
Well, I definitely don't think you're the only person at odds in that situation, but yeah.
Oh yeah, hell no. I'm at a hostel. Everyone here, they're like lost souls, so you get to see all of these characters. It's insane.
Like so much of your story as you're speaking to, as much as like at times it was maybe out of your control where you lived, I think it marries so perfectly with how much you're invested in film and storytelling and narratives, because like it's this empathy vehicle, films, and seeing everything from all these different perspectives and getting to experience so many different places around the world. Like maybe not as ideal, but it seems like it's kind of working out.
Yeah, I think empathy is one of the things that I value the most. And I think seeing things, different perspectives on things help with empathy. I think it's important for everyone to move somewhere completely different at least once in their lives, because then I think you need to see difference in order to understand that there's even bigger difference, you know.
And that's something that I'm just curious about, because you've been everywhere. Is there a particular spot that feels like home for you, or is that always shifting?
You know, that's, I've been thinking about that recently, because when I say back home, I usually say Peru, because my family's there. Spanish was my first language. But I feel like now, because I don't even know if I live here. I don't know where I live. I don't have a home right now. And I feel like my home is wherever I am. But I was talking to someone recently about how important, or like questioning how important it is to build like home base. And we are trying to decide if it's something that everyone needs, or it works with a certain type of people or whatever. And I don't know. I feel like at this point in my life, I'm okay with not having a home base, but I don't know if I'm going to feel this way later on. I think the most important thing, honestly, is being surrounded by people you think are interesting that occupy your time and feeling like you can support them and they support you, like finding a support system. And that can be in a lot of different places. You won't feel like you fit in if you don't find like a crew.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's, this is maybe a little bit of a tangential thought, but I saw this in a documentary once about how 21st century living, if you don't like, and this is very extreme, but like, if you don't like your family, we have the internet. You can find your own family. You can make your own family. Like, there's so many more avenues to connection than there ever has been before. You're not necessarily limited to the people, you know, you were raised with by blood.
Yeah, I've had multiple fights with my mom specifically about me saying that blood doesn't really mean anything. And I'm not saying that family doesn't, not because of the blood, but because it's the people that raised you. And like, it depends, because they could have be awful even if they were there for you. But I don't think the connection that you have to your family is because of blood necessarily. I think families are a lot more complicated than just deciding that, like, yeah, you had no choice and you can decide to like love or hate them. Because I think a lot of people have these like love hate relationships with the people that are most important to them.
For sure.
But yeah, I feel like you can make your own family.
Well, I do want to thank you for taking time out of your day to speak with me. But in closing, I was wondering, what advice could you give to someone who wants to explore beyond that dome, that bubble? It seems like there's never been hesitation, at least on your end, holding you back from in that regard.
I mean, I'm very impulsive and I wouldn't want anyone to be like me because I'm also very chaotic. I think I'm very laid back, maybe too laid back, and I just let things happen. But I see everything as this is going to be a story at some point. I think you need to learn how to balance those things out with like experiencing, but also trying to be safe. Cause I feel like I've often not been safe, but then I'm like, you know, I'm here now. So, so do it. Just do it. Whatever you do that you haven't done before, it can either be this like amazing experience where you're going to learn so many new things about yourself, or you're going to learn nothing and be in the same place you were before. And it'll be a bit scary or whatever, but it's still a learning experience. So why not? I don't get why people wouldn't want to have the possibility of greatness. But yeah.
That's lovely advice. Yeah. I feel like often people get caught up on the fear or, you know, the great unknown, but that's also like the exciting bit of it.
I think it's the most, like it's what drives me.
Yeah.
Life would be so boring if you know exactly how everything's going to be. Like, even if you knew that you were going to get everything that you want to get, like this is when you're going to have kids and this is the school that they're going to go to. Like, what, wouldn't that be the most boring life ever? I think it's fun to sometimes be stuck in a hostel for 6 months.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
And not necessarily good.
Right.
But
a story, as you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. That's super beautiful. Thank you. But again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day.
Don't worry. Whenever. I'm so happy we got to talk. I wish you a nice afternoon.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. It's perfect. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah. See ya.
Ciao.
Adios.
Hey, I'm Alicia, and I'm calling from Townsville, North Queensland in Australia. I think being adaptable means having a growth mindset, understanding that nothing is fixed in stone. When the opportunity arises, you just take it and be in the moment. Thanks.
Hello, Simon. Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good too, man.
Sick. How's your day going?
It's going well. It's going really good. How's chill, your day going?
Chill weekend. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of cool out here on the West Coast, cooling down a bit. We went through a real hot spot last week, so.
Yeah, that's nice. It's really hot here right now.
Bro, I believe
it's burning. Oh, man.
Awesome. Well, and then first of all, I want to congratulate you in the last few days here, hitting 700K, which is absolutely insane. How's that feel?
It's crazy. It's crazy to think about. There's been a lot of up and downs, but it's always fun to reminisce on like how you got to a certain point.
Totally.
I think like milestones provide that. So yeah, it's been really cool.
And coming from, like, correct me if I'm wrong, you've lived most of your life in this pretty small town.
Yeah, very small. It's cool. It's really cool.
Totally. Well, I guess just kind of give me the history of Simon. Like, who are you for anyone that doesn't, you know your content, and how did you get to where you are today?
Yep. So my name is Simon. I grew up in this really small rural town in the southeastern Michigan. It's called Dexter. Mm-hmm. It's very tiny. It's known as like a farming town. Very, very white. I'm one of like two or three Asian kids in my school.
Oh, shoot.
Or just like people of color from my school. So it's pretty interesting. It's a different vibe than you'd normally get. Mm-hmm. And especially coming from like, you know, a content creator standpoint where you see a bunch of people like in these giant cities, like networking and stuff like that. It definitely gave me an interesting perspective. But yeah, I think growing up in a place where there's a lack of diversity definitely gave me a lot of skills in terms of like understanding the value in diversity and like kind of accepting who I am. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of that because you always struggle when there's no one that looks like you around. That's kind of what started off my whole like content creation journey, I guess. I was watching like a bunch of big Asian YouTubers I looked up to, like Ryan Higa and all those guys. That's kind of the story of me growing up. Basically, I started making Minecraft YouTube videos mm-hmm. in like sixth or seventh grade, which is that's what everyone starts on. Like, a lot of people started on Minecraft YouTube videos because we had like the Hunger Games series. We had like Captain Sparkles, all those guys. And that's where I got into making videos, and I thought they were the coolest things to make. Definitely fell in love with that at the time. So after that, you know, I went on to make a string of YouTube channels, some for just like Call of Duty commentaries, which was really big at the time, others for more creative stuff. And I eventually started making videos on this app called Madden Mobile, and that would be like my most successful up to this point, obviously, kind of like venture into the creative world. So I met a lot of people, spent hours editing, and that's kind of where I learned all my skills that I use to this day. That's kind of what happened a couple years back. So that was the beginning of like my high school quote-unquote career. And then going from there, I kind of took a break to focus on school. And throughout the whole entire break, I was like, I really want to create something. And TikTok came along, and I decided to start creating these funny videos, stupid, just me in the mirror talking to myself, figuring out how the app worked. I was destined, like, I was so adamant on getting somewhere on the app that I knew I had to give it a shot. And I kept trying that and kind of feeling around. And eventually, I got to this point where I wanted to create something more meaningful. I started seeing more videos on TikTok where people weren't just like dancing or doing like pranks or anything. People were actually like being creative and using it as an outlet. And that's what I started to do. I created Wholesome Simon, which is my main account, and made videos about positive mental health topics and haven't looked back since then. So that's kind of how I got up to this point, I guess.
Oh, yeah. It makes sense, kind of the trajectory. And like, I'm sure like having that first initial TikTok account as you're speaking to really helps you kind of suss out the algorithm and kind of, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And God, I should have looked this up. Do you know today, like how many videos you made? It must be like in the hundreds, if not,
oh my God,
would you say thousands?
Yeah. Just on TikTok, mm-hmm. I would say it's getting up there to like 1,000-ish in across all accounts. Probably like 1,000.
Probably close, yeah.
Do you find it's been a lot.
Difficult because, I mean, like even between your TikTok account now, you run your Instagram, you have your clothing brand. Do you find it difficult to have a balanced life between all of this and like your friends, your family, your significant other?
Yeah, definitely. It's tough to balance because I always find myself like starting new things. Mm-hmm. I think I find a lot of love, and I think a lot of creatives can resonate with this, where you find love in starting to build something. And after a while, you want to create something else. I'm not really good at following through, right, per se. So like recently, I created a new TikTok account where I just have advice over aesthetic anime clips. That's kind of the thing. Mm-hmm. And that's been doing well, but that's like a fun side project. So I always create these things. I know it's really bad. It's really tough. Like I'm like, oh, let me create a podcast because I see Brad doing it and it's really fun. And I'm like, okay, let me do this. And it does get overwhelming. And a couple times it's really got to me. I'm sure my followers know this, people closest to me. It's gotten tough, but I think you go through cycles with that, and just trying to find a balanced schedule is definitely hard, but I'm getting better at it, which is good. Mm-hmm. I don't want to overwork myself, but yeah, it's pretty tough.
And as overwhelming like as it is having multiple projects, it sounds like at least for you, like exploring these different avenues is like pretty healthy for your mental state. Like if you're just doing the same thing over and over every mm-hmm. day, I don't think we'd have the Wholesome Simon we have today.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think any creative feels that, where you kind of get in the lull of doing the same thing over and over. And it's like, I got in this to be creative. So then you're like, let's start new things and kind of building up something where you can kind of be more creative on. And this is definitely some advice I give to like smaller content creators listening, is you definitely want to diversify Because I know some people that are really big on TikTok, but they're stuck to doing one thing. The only way you can really survive on mentally and actually like gaining numbers or in any way or like meeting new people, the only way you can kind of survive that is by adapting and doing what you love to do. Definitely taking that leap of faith. It gets constrained as you start to grow more. So yeah, that's just my advice. Like PewDiePie is a great example for me. I watch him a lot, but like, man, he's been on top of YouTube for so long and it's like he's changed his style so much.
Especially
that
like,
takes
in the past like 2-3 years, he really just kind of went, I'm gonna do what I like now.
Exactly, like the Reddit videos and everything, it's like he's doing him. Mm-hmm. And they're so good. And being a creative, it's what you look up to, right? You need to know when something's kind of not going your way. Your mental health can't take doing the same thing over and over because you're creative, you're in it to be creative. You want to take that leap of faith to kind of change it up. Mm-hmm. Which is something that I think is really hard to do, because at first it's gonna feel really weird, maybe not do as well, but you gotta adapt. I don't even know what your question was, but no, yeah,
like you gotta keep it fresh for real.
Yeah, yeah.
And speaking to your community, you have a few alt accounts.
Yeah,
you're so active with them through the Discord, responding to comments, fielding messages. What's the secret to keeping such an intimate connection with such a large audience?
Yeah, I will be honest, dude. Like, there have been long stretches of time where I haven't been very active in my own communities.
For sure.
Like back in like winter, I was not active on Discord, and people that are in my Discord might hear this and be like, what, he's active? Like, I've been trying to be more active recently. Yeah. I think the key is definitely, dude, have a Discord and talk to people. That's my favorite way of connecting with people. Responding to comments, you know, doing my best to do that. And having multiple accounts, honestly, it's just another creative outlet. Mm-hmm. So like, I want to sit down and rant and just record a video on my phone instead of like putting out a full edited piece of content. I'll put that on like a second account. Honestly, it hasn't all been that difficult, but definitely like connecting with the Discord recently and just talking to people. Like, I've been in your Discord and it's really fun, and just connecting with people.
Totally.
It's the best. Yeah. Join Brad's Discord, guys. it's a good time.
And I like that each of these individual things, like posting shorter rant videos or engaging with comments or like hopping in a call for, you know, half an hour on their own, they're pretty small, but like all together it creates a really, I don't know, a pretty healthy connection.
Yeah, and that's definitely what you want to do and want to go for, because I've learned to become great friends with some of these people in my Discords, and just mm-hmm. hopping a VC and hearing them talk to other people who they become friends with through the Discord is just like the greatest feeling ever. And it's like, if you're doing something and you don't connect with your audience, you're gonna burn out really fast. Because,
oh, word.
And I've been to the point where it was kind of hard, and I think being grounded in the Discord is gonna help me a lot, because you go in there, you talk to the people and realize how big of an impact you have. And that's where you kind of like, oh my gosh, like this is amazing. And you kind of mm-hmm. feel refueled. So it's definitely something you never want to lose sight of.
Absolutely. Well, I do want to thank you, Simon, for taking time every day to speak with me. But in closing, I was wondering, I want to talk to you about your series of videos that kind of like kicked off or like started a big mm-hmm. push in your content, The Reasons to Live.
Yeah.
Like so much of you and your content is giving advice. What's the number one reason to keep living or to keep moving forward? What's something that you keep coming back to?
Yeah. Okay. The biggest piece of advice that I received was actually, it stemmed from a video I saw on this guy Sneeko's channel mm-hmm. on YouTube. He's a great YouTuber. But he created this video that's, I mean, most of my advice, people may think I'm like, come up with all these things. No, it's just, I kind of collect these things as I go and get inspired by a lot of people. But
for sure,
it's called Everything Happens for a Reason. This kind of means that we can't inherently know if something that happens to us is good or bad. Maybe during those 3 months of lockdown, you're like lifting every day or running every day, and it turns out to be one of the greatest times for your self-development and for your mental health. Or maybe this something happens, you break up with someone, but that just leads you to finding another person who's actually better for you. The thing is to not be so impacted and try to not be as affected by the things that we can't control in life. There's this whole like Latin phrase called amor fati that I talk about that means to love your fate. So whatever happens, love it and just do your best with what you have. I don't think things happen to you to make your life worse or better. It's just the way you react to them that really impacts your own happiness. And that's kind of the biggest piece of advice I give someone. Yeah, there's something about it when I first heard it that was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Especially like, I feel it's so easy just in like how fast paced we're living in 2020 to get hyper fixated on a bad mm-hmm. thing that happens. And it's all you think about. But I like that keeping perspective, just broadening your horizons.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if more people do that, they'd learn to be a little more happy. Even just keep that in mind. I think that's the biggest piece of advice I give.
Totally. Yeah. Opportunity doesn't always have to be inherently like positive off the bat. So
yeah, yeah. Everything happens for a reason.
Sick. Awesome. Well, thank you again, Simon. Yeah, just for coming on and telling your story and being so open and honest.
It's always fun, man. It's always fun.
And we'll be in touch.
Yeah. I'll probably slide by the Discord tonight.
Hell yeah. Sick. I'll talk to you later then.
Yeah. See ya.
Ciao. Special thanks to Kyleen, Rebecca, and Simon for making this episode possible, as well as everyone who submitted a response online. Intro music provided by Wayfie, that's Wayfie, and accompanying tracks by Lo Boil, that's Loboil, who can both be found on all major streaming platforms. I'll see you soon, and thanks for tuning in to Blonde Radio.